ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. Our Lord, indeed whoever you admit to the fire, any person who is admitted into the fire, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ, then in fact you have disgraced him. And for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. So what are the du'as of Ulul Albab? They reflect on the heavens and the earth, but they also pray to their Lord. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also make du'a. That إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارِ. تُدْخِل is from دَال خَا لَام. Whoever you admit, whoever you enter, whoever you put into an-nar, into the hellfire, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ, then in fact you have humiliated that person, you have disgraced that person. Because if a person is thrown into the hellfire, then what does that mean? He is humiliated. Now just imagine, if you're, you know, in a gathering, if you're amongst people, if you are outside in the public, and somebody comes and slaps you in front of everybody, or somebody says very rude things to you in front of everybody, how do you feel? Humiliated. Now just imagine the day of judgment where the entire creation is present. And the entire creation includes the best of creation, the best of people, the prophets of Allah, the righteous, the martyrs. And in front of them, a person is thrown into the hellfire. In front of Allah, a person is humiliated, he is thrown into the hellfire. What disgrace, what humiliation, what debasement. And in this dunya, we're so conscious that nobody should say anything rude to us. Nobody should talk to us in a manner that is disrespectful. We're so careful. We are so careful about our image. We will spend so much time adorning ourselves, beautifying ourselves. Keep looking at the mirror. Keep going to the washroom, making sure that, you know, our hijab is fixed properly, our hair is looking fine, our clothes are okay. We'll spend hours dressing up, hours fixing our hair. Why? Because we don't want to be humiliated in front of people. So much time and attention goes on this. Similarly, we gain an education, we try to study, we try to get degrees, we try to get a good job. Why? Because it's embarrassing if you don't have a good job. It's embarrassing if you don't have a title. But on the day of judgment, where a person is thrown into the hellfire, we think that's not humiliation? How much time are we spending in order to save us from that humiliation, from that disgrace? إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ, that in fact you have humiliated him. So it shows that Ulul Albab are those people whose priorities are the Akhirah. Their priority is what? The Akhirah. It's not this dunya. They're concerned about the Akhirah. Their concerns, their worries are about the Akhirah. And فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ, the person is humiliated. This shows that a person who enters into the fire, he does not have iman. He does not have belief. Why? Because in Surah At-Tahrim, ayah number 8, we learn the day of judgment is the day when Allah will not humiliate His Prophet or those people who believe. He will not humiliate them. So any person who is admitted into the hellfire, he is being humiliated. What does it show? That person does not have iman. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. Who are the ظالمين? What is الظلم? إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Shirk and kufr, both are great injustices. So over here, by saying وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, الظالمين specifies that who are the people who are going to be admitted into the hellfire? أَهْلُ الشِّرْك and أَهْلُ الْكُفْرِ. They are those who will be admitted into the fire eternally. And al-zalimeen also has been used over here, because if you think of it, mushrikeen could have been said. وَمَا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ. It's not difficult for Allah to put two words. Why is the word zalimeen used in particular? To show to us that any person who does zulm, he will not have a helper on the day of judgment. He will not have anyone to help him on the day of judgment. A person who does zulm, whether it is zulm upon himself, by committing sins, by disobeying Allah, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, or a person does ظُلْم on other people, trying to harm them, being unjust towards them, that is also ظُلْم. So a person who does ظُلْم, he will have no helper on the day of judgment to protect him and save him from the punishment. وَمَا لِظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا, indeed we have heard a caller. And this caller Yunadi lil iman. What is he calling to? He is calling to iman, to faith. What did he say? An aminu bi rabbikum, that believe in your Lord. What did we do? What was our response? Fa amanna. So we believed. Why? Because he was telling us to believe in our Lord, bi rabbikum, your own Lord, your Khaliq, your Malik, your Mudabbir. So what's the difficulty in believing in the one who created you, the one who owns you? There is no difficulty. So we heard a caller and he was telling us to believe in your Lord. What was our response? We believed. We heard. We heard who? The Munadi. Munadi is from the root letters Noon Dal Waw. And some say Noon Dal Ya. Nida is raf'u sawt. It is to raise one's voice, to say something out loud. This is what nida is. Munadi is one who does nida, one who calls. One who raises up his voice and loudly calls out to someone. So we heard a munadi. Who is this munadi? Munadi refers to the Prophet ﷺ. So we heard him, and who was he calling to? He was yunadi lil iman, calling us to iman. Which iman? That we should believe in our Lord. Now doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell the people to believe in the prophets of Allah, in the books of Allah, in the angels of Allah, because only aminu bi rabbikum has been mentioned over here. Doesn't mean that. No. Because believing in Allah means believing in everything that Allah has told a person to believe in. So although the details of iman have not been mentioned, but it's understood. And remember that in some places, some details are mentioned, in other places, more details are mentioned. Now, we can't say that, oh, okay, over here, believe in Allah only is necessary. Believe in God only is necessary. You don't have to necessarily believe in a messenger. You can't do that. You have to put things in the correct perspective and look at them in the whole context, in the entire context of the Quran. So over here, an aminu bi rabbikum, Rabb has been mentioned over here because the context speaks of what? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the Khaliq. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. So somebody told us, believe in your Lord. What did we do? We believed. Over here they say that innana sami'na, we have heard. Now some people, they heard the Prophet ﷺ directly. Correct? They heard him directly, the people of his time. But there are some other people who didn't hear him directly. Who did they hear this call through? The heirs of the Prophet. Who are the heirs of the Prophet? The ulama, the scholars, the knowledgeable ones. They are the heirs of the prophets, and they passed on the same message. The Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey from me even one ayah. So all those people who convey, they fall under this category of munadi. Which is why some have said that munadi doesn't just refer to the Prophet, but it also refers to the Qur'an. Because in the Qur'an, the same call is preserved. The same message is preserved. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Lord, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. So, an aminu bi rabbikum, that you believe in your Lord. فَآمَنَّا, so we believed. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, O our Lord, then forgive us. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, again, fa means so, as a result. As a result of what? As a result of our iman. Because we have believed, therefore, you forgive us. Forgive us what? ذُنُوبَنَا, our sins. إِغْفِرْ is from مَغْفِرَة. And what does مَغْفِرَة mean? سَتْرُ الذَّمْ, to conceal the sin, وَتَّجَاوُزْ عَنْهُ, and not call to account for it. So forgive for us our sins. Dhunub is a plural of dham. And dham is every action that has a bad consequence, a negative consequence. So forgive for us our sins. Forgive our sins for us because of our iman. Meaning save us from the consequences of our sins. Because what is maghfirah? Satru dham, to cover the sin. Wattajawuz anhu. So cover the sin, hide it. And cover it as well. Why? So that we are saved from the consequences of these sins. In the dunya and also in the akhir. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا, and expiate from us سَيِّئَاتِنَا, our sins. كَفِّرْ, from the root letters كَفَرَ. What does كَفَرَ literally mean? To cover something. To hide something. And كَفَّرَ يُكَفِّرُ تَكْفِيرُ is to wipe off something. Because when something is wiped off, it is hidden, meaning it's not visible anymore. It cannot be seen anymore. So, takfir is to wipe off something. So, kaffir anna sayyi'atina. Sayyi'at is a plural of sayyi'ah. And the word sayyi'ah, as you know, is used for a sin. When the word sayyi'ah is used with dhamb, when the word sayyi'ah is used with dhamb, over here, فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. So سَيِّئَات has been used and ذُنُوب has been used. When both of these words come together in a context, then ذُنُوب, ذَنْب, refers to the major sins, the كَبَائِر, and the سَيِّئَات, they refer to the صَغَائِر, the minor sins. Which is why if you look at it, the word for forgiveness is different, right? For ذُنُوب, the word مَغْفِرَة has been used. And for سَيِّئَات, the word كَفِّر has been used. That for major sins, hide them, conceal them, save us from their consequences in the dunya and the akhirah. And for the small sins, the minor sins, cover them up, wipe them off. Wipe them off with what? With our good deeds. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. How? Through our good deeds. Because we know that good deeds, what do? They erase the bad deeds. But which bad deeds? The minor ones. For the major sins, a person has to do tawbah. A person has to seek forgiveness. And as we know that one salah to the other salah, one umrah to the other umrah, one hajj to the other hajj, what do these good deeds do? Whatever sins are committed in between, they are forgiven. They are wiped off. And obviously it refers to the minor ones. So our major sins, completely forgive them. And our minor sins, wipe them off with our good deeds. Because, you know, if you just imagine your record of deeds, just imagine it. You can think about the big, big sins that a person may have committed. Lying, backbiting, or shirk. Similarly, qatl, zina. I mean, these are major, major, big sins. But when it comes to small sins, being ungrateful, looking at somebody with contempt, saying something rude to someone, what is all of this? Minor sins. And many times we don't even remember that we have committed them. And these minor sins, these little sins, what do? They make the record of deeds, you can say, dirty. They spoil it. They ruin it. It's like you have a very good piece of paper and then you have small, small marks on it. You have a very beautiful painting and then a child came and he scribbled just a little bit. One here, one there, one there. What's going to happen? Is it going to affect the overall look? Of course. It's going to make it look dirty. Like if you have a beautiful wall, it's painted very beautifully. But then over time, what happens? Marks and stains. What do those marks and stains do? They make the wall look very bad. So كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. These سَيِّئَات that we have committed that we don't even remember, that we don't even realize, wipe them off, erase them. كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. How? Through our good deeds. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And make us die with the righteous. تَوَفَّنَا, from the root letters, وَوْفَيَا. And تَوْفِيَا, what does it mean? قَبْض. So take our arwah, meaning take our souls at the time of death, ma'al abrar, along with the righteous. Doesn't mean that when the righteous die, we should die at the same time. But Ibrahim alayhi salam died much before you. How is that going to happen? Ma'al abrar over here, ma'iyya, does not indicate zaman. It does not indicate time. But what it means is that when we die, then join us with who? With the abrar. Then join us with the righteous. The word abrar is a plural of bar or bar. And who is bar? One who does a lot of bir. Kathirul khayrat. The one who does a lot of khayr. The one who does a lot of khayr. And bar is also used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also one of the names of Allah. We learn in Surah At-Tur, ayah 28, Inna kunna min qablu nad'uuhu, innahu huwa al-barrur rahim. We used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. And he is bar and he is rahim. So bar is who? One who does a lot of good. So abrar are the righteous ones, the obedient ones. Who does it refer to? The prophets of Allah, the salihin, the righteous people. So when we die, join us with the abrar. As we learn that Yusuf alayhi salam, he made a dua. In Surah Yusuf, ayah 101, we learn, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Cause me to die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. And also if you think about it otherwise, the graveyards of the Muslims, they're generally separate. So they're buried in the same place as the other righteous ones. So what do we learn from this ayah? That a person should acknowledge and mention the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are they acknowledging? The ulul albab. If you read these two ayat. Iman. إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ فَأَمَنَّا. We believed. And when a person does mention, when a person does acknowledge the blessings of Allah, the favors of Allah, he shouldn't do so in a manner as if he is showing a favor to Allah. That, oh Allah, I'm being so grateful. Because they're not saying that, oh, we believed. It's a big deal, we believe. It's a big favor to you. No. A person should not do it in that manner. But rather he should do it out of humility. And if in a conversation a person does mention some of his good deeds, like over here they're saying, فَآمَنَّا, we have believed. Similarly, if in a conversation a person does end up mentioning some of his good deeds, that for instance you go somewhere and people ask you, okay, so what do? And you say, I study the Qur'an. Now you are mentioning a good deed. If you do it without showing off, it's okay. It's alright. Similarly, if somebody asks you, have you done Hajj? And you say, I don't want to tell her, I don't want to show off. And you lie. No, you shouldn't lie. You should say, yes, Alhamdulillah, I did it. So if in a conversation a person does end up mentioning some of his good deeds, it's okay as long as he doesn't do it out of riya. Also we learn from this ayah that the call of the messenger, the munadi, what was he calling to? Yunadi lil iman. He was calling people to iman. Iman in who? An aminu bi rabbikum. So the call of the da'i should be to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Allah. Not that somebody should join you. Somebody should also have a Muslim name just like you. That they should grow your numbers, they should grow your strength. Those are just benefits. But the main reason of calling people is what? To call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's supposed to be da'wah ila Allah. Also we learn from this ayah that over here they say, إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا, that we have believed. فَآمَنَّا, so we believed. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, therefore forgive us our sins. So when they're making dua, what are they mentioning? A good deed that they have done. So this shows to us that when you're making dua, you can mention some of your good deeds. That, oh Allah, you gave me the tawfiq to study the Quran. You gave me the tawfiq to do this, to do that good deed. So forgive me. So grant me this. Help me with this. It is permissible. As long as, again, a person does not do it out of showing favor to Allah. رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ, and grant us what you promised us through your messengers. Give us what you promised us through your messengers. مَا وَعَدْتَنَا. وَعَدْتَنَا is from the root letters وَاوْ عَيْنْدَا. Notice رَبَّنَا, رَبَّنَا. There's so much repetition. Why? This shows to us that when a person is making dua, he should constantly mention the names of Allah. He should constantly mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it shows more humility. And when you reflect more on the heavens and the earth, and you do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, then you automatically develop a closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you constantly make dua that, oh Allah, oh Allah. If you look at it, all of these statements are not prayers. All of these statements are not du'as. If you look at the first statement, what do they say? That رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. It's a conversation. What does that show? Closeness that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how does a person develop that? By reflecting on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا, and give us, meaning bestow us, grant us what you promised us. How did you promise us this? Ala rusulik, upon your messengers. Ala rusulik is understood in two ways. First of all, ala iman bi rusulik, upon iman in your messengers. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised certain reward for those people who believe in the messengers. Secondly, ala rusulik has been understood as ala al-sinati rusulik, meaning what you have promised us through the tongue of your messengers, meaning through your messengers. The reward that you promised us via, through your messengers. Because a person doesn't really know what reward he's going to get for the good deeds that he's doing. But when he learns that, okay, this reward is mentioned in the Quran for this good deed, this reward is mentioned in the Sunnah for this good deed, that is what? The promise of Allah for a good deed that a person has done. So مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا. And what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised as reward? Jannah, mercy, favor. So grant us that. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And do not humiliate us on the Day of Judgment. Do not humiliate us, because the humiliation of that day is the greatest humiliation. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ Indeed, you do not go against the promise. Mi'ad is from the root letters, وَوَعِنْدَادِ So indeed, you do not go against the promise. Mi'ad is understood as the time that has been agreed upon. It is the time that has been agreed upon. So what is the time that has been agreed? Yawmul Qiyamah. So you're not going to go against it. Meaning you're not going to cancel the Day of Judgment. You're not going to cancel it. Because sometimes what happens, people are told, okay, you know, we will have a day of celebration where you will be awarded, you will get your results, and this will happen and that will happen. And finally what happens, you hear that the whole event has been cancelled. How do you feel? And you find out that you will get your reward in mail. You will get your certificate in mail. How do you feel? How do you feel? You feel very bad. Although you do get the reward anyway. But just the fact of getting something on a big day, it has its own pleasure. It has its own excitement. So, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ You don't go against the time that you have promised. And when does a person go against a promise that he has made? For one of two reasons. First of all, because of a false promise that a person has made. So if a person has made a promise that is false, he never intends to fulfill it, then he will obviously go against it. And that is what? A sign of hypocrisy. Nifaq. And what's another reason? Inability. That sometimes a person makes a promise, but things don't work out, and he's unable to fulfill the promise. So for instance, the school that you go to, they have made arrangements for a particular event on which you will get your rewards and everything, but the circumstances change, and it's not possible to hold that event. So because of their inability, they're not able to fulfill their promise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not suffer from inability. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most truthful in His speech. So if He has said that He will give reward in the Day of Judgment, then He will not go against His promise. So grant us what You have promised us, meaning the reward, and do not humiliate us on the Day of Judgment. You do not go against Your promise. The promise time. What are some of the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with His slaves? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise with His slaves in the dunya. We learn in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 55, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Allah has promised those who have believed among you and done righteous deeds that He will surely grant them succession to authority upon the earth. So this is a promise. So وَآتِنَا meaning And give us this promise as well. Fulfill this promise as well. And the promise in the hereafter, we learn in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 72, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ Allah has promised the believing men and believing women gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and pleasant dwellings in gardens of perpetual residence. So these are some of the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with His servants. So what is their dua? That, O Allah, the promises that You have made with us, fulfill them. Now why do they say this? Is it ever possible that Allah would go against His promise? You know, if somebody says to you, if you've made a promise with them and they say, please make sure you fulfill that promise, isn't that disrespectful? Do you doubt me? Why are you saying that? So why are they saying this? Shouldn't they increase in their humility? Why are they saying this? Basically, it is for two reasons. First of all, despite the good deeds that they do, they are not 100% sure that they deserve the reward. They're not 100% sure that they deserve the reward. They keep asking Him, they keep reminding themselves, Allah does not go against His promise. Why? Because they realize their faults. They realize their mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is going to be fulfilled regardless. But they are not certain that they are among those people who deserve it. This is the reason why they say it. It's like you keep asking, that this is happening, right? And I am in that list, right? So are you doubting that person? You're not doubting them. You just want to make sure that you're actually a part of it. Secondly, because it shows their earnestness, their desire, their longing, their craving for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. That they can't wait. They desire it so much that they keep saying that, "Oh Allah, grant us, now, very soon." Because it shows the longing that they have for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. What does this ayah show to us? That a person who has understanding, a person who has aql, and he reflects on the universe, a person who has iman, then his entire thinking changes. His thinking changes. His worries, his concerns are about the akhirah. He's not worried that, "Oh, I will not have this in the dunya, I will not have that in the dunya." No. He's worried about the reward of the akhirah. He's worried not about the humiliation of this world, but about the humiliation of the akhirah. About the disgrace of the akhirah. Because the disgrace of the akhirah is the greatest disgrace. It's the greatest humiliation. And a person who has iman, a person who reflects, a person who has aql, he wants to go to Jannah. And he wants protection from the fire. Which is why, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ لَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارُ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. What does it show? How much they want Jannah and how much they want to be saved from the hellfire. Because فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارُ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That is a person who is truly successful. Recitation.
رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدتَّنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ.
We see over here that in spite of the humility that they have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still they are close to Allah. They have a sense of closeness. What we do is that we go into an extreme. If we are very humble before someone, then we're very distant from them. And unfortunately, in some cultures, this is what is taught. You have to respect your parents, and you can't hug them, you can't give them a kiss, you can't do that, because it's out of respect that you can't do anything like that. But the thing is that true humility comes with closeness. And out of humility and out of the closeness, the strong relationship that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why they keep saying that, "Give us what you have promised us." وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا. Just as children, they are, you know, humble in front of their parents, but still there's that frankness or there's that bonding in which they keep reminding each other of what they have promised each other. It shows the close bond.